This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Good afternoon. You are listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Carol's out today. This is Tracy, and filling in for Carol is the lovely Kim Bergeron. Thanks for being on, Kim. We are on 107.7 WTPL, The Pulse in Concord, Manchester, and Lakes Region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077, or you can check us out on foodforthoughtnh.com. So, I said who was on at the top of the hour. I did say his name a little bit wrong. I'm going to try it again. So, from Lucia's Bodega is Chuck. Now I got their first name wrong. Chuck Palazzolo.
That's correct.
I got
That's
it.
That's correct.
Welcome, Chuck. How are you?
Very good. Very good. How are you guys doing?
Very great. Glad to have you.
So, we're going to have this conversation again because we were just talking about this. So, it's such a unique name. So, we're going to tell us all about it. But first, I want you to tell us about where you got the name. And it's just fun to say your store, Lucia's Bodega.
So, it started at a friends of ours' house in their basement. We're thinking of opening a store and we're trying to figure out names. And I came up with a few and no one liked them. So that got shot down pretty quickly. So then we said Lucia's and we were tweaking words back and forth. And then Bodega came up and I looked it up and it said a house that stores wine, a room that stores wine, a Hispanic grocery store, but that's mostly the slang version. So I said, oh, you know, that's great. And we stuck with it. So
and Lucia
is my wife.
But there's, you said
Lucia and Lucia. So
does that get complicated? At
it
home?
Does get complicated, but I say Lucia and we call her Lucy. So a Lou. So it's a little bit easier that way. So we don't have that problem.
So I've been to your website.
Yep.
I have not been to the store, but I've been to the website and it is looks from the pictures like it's gorgeous.
It's
very clean and beautiful. All I saw was lots of wine.
Yep,
and
we
so
have
now
lots
I want to go.
Yeah, lots of wine, lots of beer.
Tell us about the store first of all.
So we opened up April of 2011, and we were mostly wine, a lot of food, and we had some beer. And then the business turned about a year later to mostly wine, mostly beer, and little food. I wanted to make it like a market, but the town wouldn't allow me to do much with the food aspect of things. So
towns are so difficult sometimes.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. I mean, they were looking out for other people, and, you know, I was looking out for myself. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to do sandwiches. So I always kept that option open in the store. So we tweaked it about a year and a half ago to a lot of wine and a lot of beer, and the food shrank a lot. But then the town opened up for me doing sandwiches. So as of the end of April of this year, we started doing sandwiches.
Congratulations.
So thank you. So it's been doing well, you know, once we got our menu set and printed, we should be doing a lot better.
Well, I really like this quote that's on your website that says that it's like an Italian grandmother's cupboard crossed with a foodie's refrigerator.
Yes. So, you know, now we're adding more food again. So so we're going to have more wine, more beer, and more food.
So tell us a little bit about the food. I know you have like Italian meats and stuff.
Yep, we have prosciutto's obviously our number one seller. We have five or six different supersadas, you know, one with one wild boar, one with truffles in it, Sangiovese wine and some spicy stuff too. And then we also have some a lot of different cheeses. We carry about 25 different cheeses too.
So I'm going to put you on the spot about truffles.
Yes.
I know there's this whole thing where they're like dug up in the ground.
Yes,
and
they
are. They're very expensive.
They are very expensive.
But I've never had one, I don't think.
Oh,
tell us. To me, a truffle is like a piece of chocolate with, you know.
Yeah.
Tell us, what's the big deal about like truffles?
Well, truffles, number one, they're you have to find them with a hound dog, you know, in France or Italy. Black truffles are more expensive than white truffles. So when there's truffles involved, the price comes up. So we have truffle oil, truffle cheese during the holidays because it's so expensive, and then truffles in meat.
So what would you do with a truffle oil?
Truffle oil, what I do it usually is I grill a filet, slice it up, and then put a little drop on each little piece of meat. And it gives
like
it a nice look. Yeah, after it's cooked, a
so
nice little flavor.
So as you plate it.
Yes. Or like you're doing an hors d'oeuvre on like a crusty bread with a little bit of beef or meat or any type of meat. Just a little bit of truffle oil on top, and it's delicious. You just need a very, very little.
So
very,
a little goes. So it's expensive, but it goes a long way.
A little goes a long way. You don't cook with it. I mean, you basically add it in after.
And what type of flavor can you describe?
It's like a mushroom flavor. It is.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So like a really strong flavor, but that's why I just used a little bit because it's very concentrated.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I do like mushrooms.
Yes.
Well, thanks for clearing that up for me. I've always wondered. Now I see, let's switch to the wine for a minute.
Yep.
A review on your Facebook page says, the best wine and cheese shop. The wine tastings are fantastic, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it says, and free.
Yes, we do. In New Hampshire, we can't charge for tastings.
Okay.
That is against the state law. So what we do is we have tastings on Thursdays and Fridays, 4 to 8. We taste both wine and beer both days. And on Fridays, we do concentrate a little bit more on beer than wine. And then on Saturdays, it's 12 to 6. So we go 6 hours, and we do wine and beer that day also, but we mostly concentrate on wine. So
I should come on Thursdays and Saturdays.
Thursdays and Saturdays are a good day. Saturdays are a really good day because usually we do between 7 and 10 wines.
Wow.
Every Saturday.
And that's great because it's so hard when you go into, whether it be the grocery store or a liquor store or whatever, and you want to try all these wines, but especially if they're more expensive.
It gets very confusing for the consumer.
Yeah, and you don't really know, like, ooh, do I really spend that money on wine?
And then you're there to ask questions.
Yes. Yeah.
So
yeah. I mean,
that's a huge thing.
You know, when people come in, I ask them, you know, what style of wine do you like? Do you like Pinot Noir, Cabernet? Do you like them light? Do you like them heavy? What price are you looking to go for? And, you know, that's how we guide them. So it makes it a lot easier that way if you know what you're
looking for. What if somebody's brand new and really has no clue? Do you just start them with the Riesling?
No. Well, I mean, Rieslings, Moscatos. Some people like the, you know, the red blends that are a little more fruity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have some of those. And you guide them that way. After 6 years, you get to know a lot of our customers' palates. So when I started, they might have liked Riesling. And now they're drinking heavy cat.
I think that's the natural progression. I started that way.
It is.
So just joining us a little bit early is Michael Hopley-Pierce.
Hi.
And there's a reason why he's joining. So he's going to be on at 1:30. So if you're listening, stick around. Mm-hmm. But there's a reason why he's joining us a little bit early because you have Leatherman's Limited.
Yes, we do. We carry two or three different kinds of his beer. Yes.
So
yes, very much.
How long has this relationship been going on?
Probably since the beginning.
Since the beginning, yes.
Because actually, Ken Fajans, who you know,
introduced the
two of us because he used to work for Chuck.
Yes, yes.
It is such a small world, isn't
it?
I was actually speaking with Shelley Fajans today beforehand.
Yes,
so
Shelley, very
she's
nice
probably
person.
Listening. Hi, Shelley. Yes. So now do you have, besides the wine tastings, do you have any other type of events?
Yeah, we have. So coming up this month it's a big party month for graduations.
Right. Yes.
And then Father's Day, we do have a tasting with Vinlandia. Kevin will be hosting that for me. We're doing 10 wines, you know, gearing it towards the fathers. So we're doing a little bit heavier type of wines. And then we're also doing a Madeira, which you serve over ice, which is delicious.
And what is a Madeira?
It's a Spanish wine, so it's like a dessert wine. You could either serve it on the rocks or maybe mix it with a little bit of salsa water.
Is it red?
No, it's not.
Okay, because I know
like
there
a
is
golden,
a
golden
that's supposed
color.
To be served over ice, but not there's like one kind or something.
Yeah, we sell one wine that actually you serve super cold. It's called the Tess, which you just got in today. And it's a Bordeaux blend, and it's a true red wine. Mm-hmm. And it is delicious, ice cold.
Yeah, see, I should try that because
it is really good.
I'm a red wine girl all the time, but in the summertime, you kind of got to go with the Pinot Grigio.
Well, rosés are really hot right now.
Really? See, that's
something
I've ever gotten into.
So
I have to come to a tasting and try some.
Yeah, last week we did a rosé taste-off, and we did 7 different rosés from around the world, and we had the customers pick their favorite, and the one from France won, of course.
What I think of rosé is that's what I think of as like, you know, my grandmother's wine.
It's
changed.
It's came full cycle now.
Okay.
3 years ago, we saw it changing, And when people see pink, it's not pink. It's not white Zinfandel. It's rosé. Mm. So it's a true wine drinker's pink wine, let's say.
So it's good to hear these things because a couple weeks ago we heard that twist-off wine bottles are okay.
We had Joe McCarthy on the show last week.
Twist-offs are, Joe McCarthy,
and you think
great,
that that's like
guy.
Tacky right. or exactly. not good
it's,
wine? Or
it's not.
Wine.
It has a lot to do with the wines going bad. So a corked wine. So believe it or not, one out of every 14 bottles are bad. With a cork. With a cork in it. Mm-hmm. So that's why you see the people going to screw caps, because if you're shipping it over from Australia, New Zealand, that's a long distance, and the wines can go bad a lot quicker. And with the screw cap, it's one out of about 100,000. And most of the time, it's not put on properly.
So we actually have a caller.
Yes.
So welcome, Kevin from New Boston. You have a wine question?
Well, yeah. I'm curious. Wines only considered via grapes. Now, because I hear the term grape wine, and as far as I was concerned, wines are always just grapes, and other mediums, like, you know, I do mead, which is made from honey. So I didn't know if wines covers everything, or is it just a particular fruit?
There is wines, but the ones that considered the true wines are the wines made from grapes. There's blueberry, apricot, like you said, strawberry, raspberry, blueberry. So there's a lot of those. Those are fruit wines. So those are considered a different category along with the meads.
And a lot of it has to do with taxation as well, where depending on what state you're in and what you're producing, you're allowed to call different things different things. So if you make a cider stronger than a certain alcohol percentage, you have to call it an apple wine. It's no, even if it's exactly the same thing, just 10% instead of 9%.
Right,
9%.
I
don't know what the numbers
the
are, but I think it's around there.
9%
so 9% and above would be a wine or
an on a cider. We can't sell a wine a cider that's over 9%. That has to be sold in a state liquor store because that's considered a different category.
Now, see, you read my mind. That's where I was leading up with the question is why do they call it apple cider and not apple wine? But there is actually a difference.
Yes, there is an apple cider, too, but that's a dessert wine. So it's actually it's very concentrated.
More residual sugar.
More residual sugar.
Quebecois style.
And it's made in the ice style process. So they freeze it for 21 days. They drill holes in it. It trickles down, and it takes like 12 pounds of apples to make one 375 bottle.
Wow.
So, yeah. And we do sell that at the store, and that's like 10%. So that's considered a fortified wine.
Wow.
A fortified,
what a good question,
okay.
Kevin, yeah. I had never thought of it. You're always good with the questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it was a good, like I said, I couldn't figure out, because, I mean, like I said, I know people will say, like, I do mead, and people will say, well, that's just wine. No, it's not wine. It's actual mead, which is like saying, you know, beer is the same as wine. They're both alcohol. They're not. So I was wondering about the apple cider, and you answered the question, so thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, Kevin. Take care.
Right, bye.
Kevin always has great questions, and we always learn something
There's so much on this show. I love it.
I
actually said to you, Tracy, I can't really take any lead in this part. There's so much information. I'm going to sound so foolish.
But, you know, I mean, I'm not by any means a wine connoisseur. I know what I like and I know what I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, you know, you don't have to be a wine connoisseur, I think, to learn.
No.
That's why we have you guys on.
We also do classes. So we do classes every other month during the summer and the spring. In the fall, the winter is a little tough with the snow.
And what are the classes like?
So the classes we do, it's $20. You get $10 back. And myself and Kevin from Vinlandia are the teachers. And usually we try to keep it to about 25 people. And, you know, we start like Wine 101. And then we're sort of getting into a group, the same 15 people come. So we do different classes like, how do you compare this Chardonnay from France to one from California to one from New Zealand? So, and then we do that with like three different grapes.
That's really neat. So it's a lot more than just a store. It's a community.
Yes. We have a very loyal following. You know, if you're there on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're liable to see the same 20 people there all 3 days.
Now, we didn't mention where you're located.
Yes.
We're located on Route 111 in Windham, New Hampshire, right in the same building as Dunkin' Donuts. If you come off exit 3 either way, we're 1 mile from the exit.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I know right where that is.
Yep.
And you said you opened in 2011.
Yep.
And it's Lucia's Bodega.com,
right? Yep.
And on Facebook, I believe she is Bodega.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, so we talked about the name and you wanted to open a store, but tell us your, like, your backstory, what you've done in the past and what made you want to do this.
Okay, so I went to, I graduated Johnson Wales in the 90s. So I went to school to be a chef. I opened up a pizza and sub shop in Boston near the Faneuil Hall. Did that for a couple of years. Then I worked for a company called DeLuca's Market on Newbury Street, and I ran that for quite a bit of time. So that was almost what we're doing now, but we had a lot more produce, beer, wine, meats, cheeses, fishes, all that. So I did that. Then I went to work for CVS. I said, I need to do something different again. So I decided to
that's a
to
big
open up.
Jump from
it
that.
It is a big jump. It is a big jump.
And you missed it.
I did. I definitely missed it.
I'm sure running a business is a full-time job no matter what you do.
Yes, it is.
But I bet this is a little more relaxing than pizza place in Faneuil Hall.
It is. It is because
that just sounds stressful.
It was stressful because we were open till 3 in the morning. So,
oh, right. Yeah.
There was a lot of problems.
My son wants to be a chef. He's graduating 8th grade. He wants to go to school in Maryland or something to be a chef. And I said, you need to go hang out with my friend that owns a restaurant for a Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, and see if you want to do it. It's tough. A lot of weekends.
Holidays, weekends.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to be willing to put in the work, that for sure. It's hard to do it. To be a family and, you know, work as a chef all the time.
And so you and your wife run the business
together? Well, my wife works at a different company, you know.
Okay,
she's
so her name's just on it.
Yeah, she comes in once in a while. She makes her guest appearance, we call it.
Does she get free wine?
She likes the sweeter wine, so. Sweeter wine.
What's your favorite part of your business?
Just helping the customers, you know, seeing them happy when they leave with, like, a nice bottle. Or now we're making sandwiches, so... we've had a lot of good feedback with the sandwiches. So.
Actually, tell us about some of your sandwiches.
So, yeah, our number one sandwich right now is an Italian. So it's and then prosciutto and turkey. So we only have like 10 or 12 sandwiches right now, but, you know, hopefully we'll expand. But, yeah, come in
and
try.
That's a lot, though, 10 or 12 sandwiches.
Mostly all we can do grilled panini, so we can't cook. But, you know, like fresh mozzarella, prosciutto, serrano, speck.
Drools coming out of my mouth right now.
My favorite.
Yeah.
And wine. Yep. What else could you want?
Yep.
So tell everybody again where they can find you.
We're at 30 Indian Rock Road, Route 111, Windham, New Hampshire. And we're right in the same building as Dunkin' Donuts.
And then again, your next event coming up?
Oh, our next big one. We have actually a winemaker coming in from California. Her name is Carol Shelton. It'll be Saturday, June 24th, and she'll be there 2 to 5 signing bottles. And she focuses more on Zinfandels.
So if you have a signed bottle, does that mean you can't drink it?
You could drink it.
You have to save it?
No, you know what? You know what I say? You know, you buy two. You drink one and you save one.
There you go.
That's what I tell people.
Takes care of that dilemma.
Yep. Well, Chuck, it has been great having you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Hearing about great local businesses, that, especially when it's wine involved.
Okay.
So we are going to go on a quick break.
All right.
You're listening to Food for Thought. When we come back, we are going to have MHP Untapped. Always a fun time. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7. The Pulse.
It must be Thirsty Thursday, because Food for Thought is about to pour you a liquid lunch with MHP Untapped. Hang out with us while we talk with brewers and beer movers and shakers, discuss New Hampshire beer culture and events, and answer calls to our studio live at 866-823-1077.
I love your intro, Michael.
Me too. I never get tired of it.
I know. We're jamming. And I love the fact that may be the first time that the whole time the intro was playing, you were cracking a beer and pouring it. That was like perfect.
Doesn't get much better than that.
I know. We have beer samples in the studio. Only thing better is wine samples.
I got to give a little shout out to my buddy Tony Wolf, who did my voiceover. He is probably the best voiceover man in the industry, based out of Florida, but he's done 3 or 4 different voiceovers for me remotely. He doesn't need to be in the same place.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
So if you're ever looking for voiceover work, just reach out to me at mhp@lithermans.beer, and I'd be happy to connect you with my man, Tony Wolf.
You got it. Yeah, because he's got one of those voices. I love it. So what did you just pour
today
for us?
I brought something. I was thinking about you, Tracy. So I brought something that I thought you would like.
So it's light and fruity?
It is. It is both of the
like
aforementioned
me?
Things. And even tart.
Okay.
So it is what's called a Berliner Weiss or a kettle sour beer, which we use the same bacteria that you use to make kimchi or sauerkraut or cheese or yogurt or any of a number of different things. That brings the pH down, acidifies the beer a little bit before we actually boil it and ferment it with a standard brewer's yeast. In this case, we added apricots as well, and it's only about 3.7%, so it's really nice and light.
Oh, so I can have seconds.
You can have as much. You can have as much as you want.
So now I'm smelling, and you know I'm not a beer connoisseur, but I'm smelling, is that hops or the yeast, or what am I smelling?
You're smelling funkiness.
Funky is not good.
It is. It's contextual, right?
Okay, yes.
So there's almost no hops in this beer, just enough to really keep the foam down and be a little bit of an antimicrobial agent. Not very much maltiness either. We use really light malts and actually use a good clip of wheat. So there's not a lot of maltiness either. What you're picking up is the smell of that bacteria, which sounds gross, but the truth is if you looked at a list of foods that
right?
have you never had sauerkraut or yogurt?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
I mean, so that's fermented foods are kind of in different ways parts of almost every culture. Just as Americans, that everything's become mass produced, we don't think about the fact that they're bacteriologically influenced, but they really are. Almost nothing that you eat or drink has not had some level of biological involvement.
Well, it's very good, bacteria and all.
Yes. And then, but we boil it. So
we have a friend in the studio. He's pouring seconds right now, so he likes it too.
We kill all the bacteria before it makes it to the package. Not that it would make a difference, because it's the kind of bacteria that's actually probably in your mouth right now. It's
right.
The same.
That's
it's the same
you.
Bacteria that causes it's, tooth decay. Actually,
I had
probiotic.
Thank you. No, there's another name for it. I thought I had it, but that's not the name.
It'll come
delicious.
To you.
Yes. No, about the good bacteria. There's a name for that.
You just call them good bacteria.
Okay, bacteria.
I call the ones in this Bob. I almost made beer come out of Tracy's nose. That was
great.
Awesome.
I was drinking. Don't do that to me, Michael. Well, this is very good. So what was this called again?
This is Foolish Lover's Game.
Good name.
So my partner and I and our assistant brewer Dropkick were at the brewery, and they had pitched the idea of this beer. And what my partner Doc Jones wanted to call it was Take My Breath Away, because it's a Berliner Weiss. And we were thinking of Top Gun, Berlin.
Yes,
and I was like, I like where you're coming from, but I don't necessarily like where you're going. So I walked away. Started singing the song to myself. So I said, watch it every motion. Foolish Lover's Game. Foolish Lover's Game.
And so I love it. So it's all connected. So it's funny. Now that I'm like the little aftertaste, my husband let me try a beer yesterday, and he said he used that word tart. And I tasted it. I'm like, oh, it kind of tastes like a sweet tart. And this has that little bit of, like, just at the end, like a sweet tart.
It's not as sour as a lot of traditional kettle sour beers are. Mm-hmm. And we did that on purpose to make it a little bit more approachable. Some really old school German Berliner Weisses or aged, wood aged sour beers are really, really, really sour and almost not undrinkable. But unless you know what you're in for, you might not want to sit back and drink a whole pint of it. Whereas something like this, I think you could easily.
So it's good on a nice summer day when you're mowing the lawn.
Yeah.
And you really should be careful, because you're working, you know, with machinery that could cut your foot off.
Indeed.
And you want to have a nice light beer, 2, 3, 4. It's okay.
So this is available right now. It's actually on tap at the Flight Center in Nashua is the only place that it's on tap. And
which I have not been to yet.
You should
still
go.
Haven't. How
I
you
have
been
to
talking
go.
About
I
that
know.
One?
Other than that, it's brewery only. We will be doing a beer similar to this that will be a peach kettle sour. That's a little bit of a bigger beer. It's a 6% beer versus a 3.7% beer, and it's a little bit of a different grain bill, but very similar, much fruitier. And that one is called Little Peach of My Heart. And that is actually going to be going.
That would be my job.
Don't you
I've
love
always
it?
Said like the paint colors and
you would name them
in the streets or now the beer. I'm so all over that. Oh,
that's so you need
cute.
To hire Kim.
Yeah.
The label art is actually I'm showing it on an audio
label.
Only podcast.
Love
this is
I love it.
It's not quite finished yet.
Right, it's a beautiful peach. I'm going to describe it. It's a beautiful fresh looking peach
with two bites out of it.
A heart shaped bite.
Shaped like a heart.
Oh, it's perfect.
I like it.
I love that.
So Steve Lee, Steve Lee Designs does all of our graphics work. He did our logo, all of our beer labels. He does an amazing job. And as soon as we get the final version, I got one that just requires a couple of tweaks sent over to me this morning. So should be sending that to the printer in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll be putting that in packages, and that'll be available at all the bottle shops that carry us as soon as we can get it out, probably 6, maybe 8 weeks on the outside.
Wow. And the one we're having now, you said, at
this is brewery only. Yep. There, we sold a couple of kegs. The only one that's still available that hasn't been tapped and kicked already is the one that's at the Flight Center. I don't know if he's put it on yet. Other than that, it's just at the brewery, and it's probably going to be on for another 2 or 3 weeks. I don't think we're going to brew this particular beer again. Nothing wrong with it, but we have a lot of the peach puree that we use for the peach beer, so I think we're going to do the next 3 or 4
sessions. And I think that's just the exciting thing about what you guys do is that you are always mixing it up. I think that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I've seen and heard, you guys are just, your brains are always stirring, and you are constantly, more so than anybody else, putting new stuff out there and trying new things. And so I think it's cool because anytime you come over to the brewery for tasting or whatever,
it's always
always going to be something different versus just, you know, going and getting the same old, same old.
Even some of our folks that come in every week, if I don't have something new from last week, they're like a little disappointed. They say, oh, what's new this week? And I say, nothing. I'll have 2 new beers next week. Oh, okay. It's like, I'll have
You're setting the bar very high.
I have 5 new beers this month. I just don't happen to have one this week. I know breweries that didn't put that many out last year.
Exactly. Wow. That's my point. It's so cool. So yours is not a place to walk in and say, give me the regular.
Well, there are people that do, and there are folks that always get the same growlers and always get the same pints.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Chuck was saying, you read your customers and you know, you see the mood that they're in when they walk in and you know what they're going to want. But there are people that are going to come in and do a full flight of all the samples every single time just to try. Maybe they haven't tried Tangled Up in Bruges in 6 months and they forget what it's like, but this way they get to remember.
That's what I love. That's what I loved about the time I went in was just getting to try like that many different beers and, you know, in comparing like which one I liked better and my husband liked better.
Yeah.
It's always different.
And you can do full pints now. We offer a limited food menu with full pints, so you're no longer limited to 1 4-ounce pour per variety, which is nice. If you try a flight, try 4 beers, figure out which one you like, get a pint of it. I guess I should throw out some location information too.
Yeah, the food. That was my question too. So
we're at 126 Hall Street, Unit B in Concord, which is halfway between exits 12 and 13. Kind of a little south of Main Street in an industrial park, but when we're open, there's signage out. So once you get to Hall Street, you'll find us. Very limited food. We have gourmet peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Really?
I can
attest to just my involvement alone actually makes them gourmet.
Wow.
And then we have chicken Caesar salads made fresh every day. We have microwavable soup, which is not made fresh every day. And we also have specials depending on what we order in. So we have a pizza company that will deliver us pizzas that we heat up and serve. They'll also bring us meatball subs that we do the same with.
Because you just have to be able to serve food.
There's 4 boxes the state gives you, and you have to check 3.
Gotcha.
And I don't remember exactly what they are, but the first 3 food items I mentioned, each of those checks a very specific box in a very clear way. Everything else is above and beyond.
So to be able to serve the larger sizes?
Correct.
Okay.
Otherwise, all I can do is 1 sample per beer, per person, per day, which for us, we have 8, 10, 12
beers.
That's
a lot of beers.
It's a lot. But if somebody really only likes sour beers and they don't, you know, they don't like anything else I've got because they don't like hoppy and they don't like Belgian, well, it sucks if they can only have a 4-ounce pour. And then that's kind of the end of their experience, especially if they're with other people that want to hang out.
Exactly.
So it gives them the ability to have more of what they want.
Well, thank goodness for that gourmet peanut butter and jelly.
I am going to go for the gourmet peanut butter and jelly.
I'll tell you what you're going to go for today. Brand new. Banana vanilla porter called Milli Vanilli. That's what you're going to come in for.
I love the name.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, today. Just today.
Today. It's a 3-barrel batch plus, so we have plenty of it, and I don't believe we're going to be wholesaling much, if any.
So Milli, it'll be on Milli Vanilli.
That is so cute. Yep.
I love anything with, like, banana flavor.
Now, did you come up with that name?
I think they came up with that. I think Doc and Dropkick, when they pitched that idea or told me they were brewing it, I think they'd already come up with the name.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just such a perfect fit.
It is. It's absolutely perfect.
But I don't think I had any part in that one.
No, huh?
It is, yeah. So what's that one taste like?
Bananas. It's really mostly banana on the nose, a lot of chocolate, a lot of roastiness.
Oh, my gosh.
No actual chocolate, just chocolate malt.
Do you have that one in your
chocolatey
car?
I don't.
Right? Why didn't you bring that today?
I have it in my pocket, actually.
That's great. So, talk about your tasting hours.
We're open Thursdays and Fridays, 4 to 7, and Saturdays, 12 to 5. We have a capacity for just over 40 people. We often hit that once we hit stride on a shift, but we are in the middle of expanding in just about every possible way, and part of that plan is going to include some added square footage.
That's right. Okay, so not moving.
Nope.
Just expanding.
Definitely not moving anymore.
Okay.
And we're looking at a couple of options for expansion, so I'm not quite sure what's going to happen, but something is going to happen.
That's very exciting.
So we should definitely, by the time I'm on next month, I will actually have a plan in motion, and
it's
I'll probably have a date as well.
Has it been a year?
It's been 14 months.
Wow.
Oh gosh.
What a huge growth in such a short period. It's so exciting.
Congratulations. We hit about a year and a half's worth of growth in a year, and we had a pretty aggressive plan.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, you must work with great people, too.
It's my partner and myself and a couple of volunteers.
I just see it reeling anyways, but yeah.
That's Michael.
Yeah, definitely can tell.
I can't take that much of the credit.
No, but put it with somebody else and you've got a masterpiece.
Your mind is always reeling. That's
for better or worse. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. This is Tracy Kim's in for Carol, and we have Michael Hopley-Pierce from MHP Untapped, and we will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Carol's out and Kim is in. Carol's out for today. So in the studio with us is Michael Hopley-Pierce from MHP Untapped.
Hello.
And we also have somebody on the phone, so I was hoping he was going to call in. A blast from the past. Welcome, Chef Patrick Hall.
Hey, how are we doing?
Oh, we missed you.
I'd like to order a meatball sub and pizza from Litherman's.
Do they
deliver?
Yes, for you, Pat, we will deliver, happily.
Well, I'm right here in Concord. I'm right around the corner, man. So,
make sure.
You know, I didn't realize you had all that stuff, you know, so.
You should come in today after work.
I don't work anymore. I'm in, you know, the summer schedule now, so.
Get the Milli Vanilli. That's what I'm going for.
I was just listening about that, you know. I said, I haven't been there in a while, and I've just been so busy, and then all of a sudden, so I just got back from a cruise from Bermuda, so it was a tough job. I had to take all my students. Someone had to chaperone.
Wow.
So that was me, and
it's a tough job.
You know, it was rough, you know, so.
Now you and Michael have collaborated before, yes?
Oh, ooh. Absolutely, yeah, I roasted his pumpkins.
Yeah, he was
and that's not a euphemism.
not sure absolutely. I want to know about that.
Oh, yeah, I roasted his pumpkins. Yeah, no, we, you know, like I said, we, Lakes Region Community College, created a beer brewing program. They helped us out immensely, you know, just giving us information and being on part of our board. And like I said, I had an opportunity. He's like, hey, you want to brew, you know, you want this pumpkin brew? And I said, yeah. So I went and I got some local pumpkins and we roasted them off, and it was awesome. And he let me have some samples, and I was happy.
I'm looking forward to doing that again this year if you're interested, just to put you
any
spot
time.
On live radio. You know.
No pressure
or
anything.
No. You can change your mind off air and say no later if it makes you, it's fine.
No, we're right down the road. So, I mean, that's the best thing about you guys is you guys always try to use local stuff, you know. So
we love it.
I mean, I was so happy. And like I said, you know, we got the Shaker Village right there. So they're growing stuff all the time. And actually, the grower said that she was going to start trying to grow some hops. So I'll let you know. To be continued. Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely interested in, we did one 3-barrel batch last year, and it was so popular, and I got a lot of demand for wholesale of kegs, actually, folks that wanted to buy 4 or 5 kegs of it and age a few of them. I think we're going to do 2 or 3 batches of that this year. So whatever we did last year, we could probably assume we're going to do double or triple that. But we should talk offline over some adult beverages, I think.
Yo, definitely. Oh, it was the best beer, I'm telling you right now. You guys do an awesome job. I mean, like, that's it. I've just been, you know, wandering around aimless. I got your pictures, all the girls' pictures here, and I'm like, oh, my, all by myself. You know? I'm walking around.
Beer,
I don't know what to do with myself.
You need a beer like that now. You need a beer from Chef Patrick Hall called All By Myself.
All by myself. This is a picture of me all lonely. I'm just sitting there, you know? So.
Now, talking about collaborations, you have, Michael, you have a collaboration coming up as well.
We do. We're, you know, I'm always interested in teaming up with people to try to help get in front of their people and them in front of our people and just sort of cross-promote however we can. So New Hampshire-based guitar player Ed Gerhard, who's a Grammy winner and a really cool guy. He's been playing for like 35 years. He's one of the best in the world at fingerstyle guitar playing, and he lives in the Seacoast. I've been a big fan of his for probably close to 20 years, and I kind of referred to myself as an Edhead, the way that we would sort of follow him around. Some years we'd see him 3 or 4 or 5 times, and I started giving him homebrews. You know, when I was homebrewing and I'd go to see him, I'd just bring him a bottle here and a bottle there. And when we opened up commercially, I brought him a bottle. And finally, I had the nerve to say, I'd love to do a collaboration beer with you. And I'm thinking it's going to be like, yeah, I'm this world famous. What do I? And he was all over the idea and loved it. And so I've had a couple of meetings with he and his wife, Kelly, about putting this together. And so we are doing a collaboration beer, designed and brewed and inspired by Ed Gerhard. He's going to help us brew it. And we're going to put it on tap to debut it at a concert that he is doing at the Capital Center for the Arts in Concord on Saturday, September 16th at 8 p.m. So it's right down the street from our brewery. We're going to run a regular shift on the Saturday, close down, head over there. We'll be pouring out samples of a couple of different varieties, but we'll also have at least that one beer that we designed with him on tap for pints to drink in the reception area between acts and after the show. And it's going to be a really cool opportunity. I'm really just looking forward to teaming up with somebody as awesome as Ed.
And it's so perfect, too, because just your whole background, everything is music, you know, is founded in kind of in music and all your labels and everything. Yeah. So that
it's
is
a nice,
that's exciting.
It's a natural tie-in.
Yeah. Mm.
And he's a local guy. We love doing local stuff. So we're hoping we can help each other out and maybe broaden our audiences a little bit in both cases.
That's a fantastic venue. Oh, man.
It is. It's going to be downstairs. It won't be in the big theater upstairs because that's like 1,500 people, and I don't think he's likely to sell that many tickets. But the downstairs space, is, I think it holds up to 250 or 275.
Yeah, so. I got married there. It was great.
Oh, nice.
They had a ticket booth with a bar. Oh, it was great. It was fantastic. So.
That was a long time ago, yes.
Yeah, that was a long time, you know. So.
He paid them in wampum.
He played at my wedding. No.
So tell us what's going on over at Lakes Region Community College. I know you said you're kind of closed for the, you know, your
yeah, we
summer,
we hit the summer season. You know, we had a strong, like I said, you know, the strong finish to the year. Like I said, we just have our hospitality club. We just got back from a cruise and everything, but our program's been doing really well. We just revamped our restaurant management program and our hospitality program, which we're teaming up with Church Landing over in Meredith and the Common Man restaurants and things like that. So we're building up some different programming, and we're searching. Like I said, we did our beer brewing program, you know, which started off pretty good. And Michael, I'll be giving you a call here pretty soon, and you pick your brain a little bit more. And it's been good. It's been a great year, you know. So
I want to know how I get on that cruise. You need a photographer, right?
You we absolutely, absolutely. So
and a photographer's assistant.
Yeah, right. So
photographer's
we'll collaborate
assistant
on that too.
we'll have you guys join the club, and then, you know, you just gotta put the hours in, and that's it, you know. So
all right.
I mean, what the students do for our club is they do extra catering, and so they do the catering, because we get asked to do catering all the time, and they're significantly cheaper than any caterer, you know. And we don't advertise or anything, obviously, because we don't want to interrupt with any local business or anything like that. But people ask us, and it's mostly for school. And like a couple of years back, they raised almost $30,000, you know.
Wow.
So I was like, well, you could take two cruises. So so it's a tough job. I have to chaperone it, but each student has to put in at least 45 hours a semester.
Wow.
And then they go on the cruise, and it's, you know, you get on the ship and they start meet and greet with the chefs, and there's 16 different restaurants, from, you know, this Tapanaki grill to Brazilian steakhouse to French restaurants to Italian restaurants. So all their hard work that they've done all year long, you know, goes into you know, reflecting on what they've learned, you know. So
that's exciting. So
yeah,
I actually have a question for you. This is so
yeah.
Way before college, when yeah. a child shows interest in, I mentioned this earlier, in wanting to be a chef,
yeah.
What's the best thing to do for them to show them what it's really like at a young age when they're trying to
at a young
make a
age, start cooking with them. That's
well, that
it,
we
you know.
Do,
like I said,
like,
I have my daughter. She's when she was, you know, five, I started, you know, like when I was 5 years old, my grandfather's a chef, and it's simple as, like, you know, just cooking pancakes after, you know, after church and type of thing. You know, I was cooking pancakes and things like that, and doing, you know, just different things. You know, and that's how you spark them. If they're interested in cooking, then and develop more. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and, you know, when she was 8, she's making her own quiche. She goes in there, she does her own baking, you know, just giving them that outlet to do it, you know.
Yeah, so. That he does. I'm thinking more along the lines of being seeing how it really is in a kitchen. like a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Then you just bring them right
in the kitchen, and you throw them in the dish station, and
there
then
you go. I was gonna say, well, they do the dishes.
I was thinking that actually, this is what it's really like.
Well, in all seriousness, I mean, it's everything from you know, a lot of people, they watch, you know, Food Network nowadays, and they're like, oh yeah, you make a sandwich, you wave to people, you made $5 million.
Yeah.
You know, it's no, and just like, you know, I'm sure MHP can attest to, you know, half of brewing is making sure everything's sanitary, you know, so it's one of those things that. You know, you just got to get in there and just introduce them to it. But it's usually that one person. If you're interested in it, you're locked into it, you know, and you're that person. You're that type of person that's a restaurant person, you know.
Yeah, because it's a hard job. It's a very hard job.
Yeah. Yep, so.
So, yeah, Michael, you have a guest coming on next month. Let's talk about that real quick.
I have my friend CJ White. She runs the New Hampshire Brewers Association. I'm not sure what her actual title is. We call her the ninja.
That's a good title.
She is a ninja. So she's going to be on to talk about the New Hampshire Brewers Festival, which will be going on July 22nd. And that is actually in Concord as well. That's at the Kiwanis Waterfront, Part 15 Loudon Road, right off the highway.
They changed it this year, right?
Right. It was in Manchester, but now it's in Concord in my backyard. And that works out really well.
Yeah, that's
for us.
Great.
So save the date, Saturday, July 22nd from 12 to 4, and we'll tell you all about it next month.
Awesome. It was great having you, Michael. Chef Patrick Hall, we always
love
hearing from you. We miss you too. We want to have you on. We're going to talk to you about coming on again so we can see your beautiful face.
Absolutely.
Ken, thanks for filling in today. Michael's always great having you. We look forward to you and your guest next month. And you are listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Tracy. Up next is Kale and Company. And we will see you next week. Have a great, beautiful day, everyone.